Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome to Send It In here on the BetQL Network. I am Kate Constable filling in once again for PJ while he's out on vacation. I'll be with you for the rest of the week. And we are going to continue our college football preseason preview the rest of the week going forward because week zero of the college football season kicks off this weekend. So we're going to continue previewing the Big 12. Yesterday, we talked about Arizona. Today, we're going to be talking about Arizona State. We're also going to continue with our NFL previews, the NFC South. That's the division we're going through right now. We're going to talk Carolina Panthers because there's some exciting stuff on the horizon for the Carolina Panthers. At least that's what I'm going to try and convey to you this afternoon. But that's coming up on Gridiron Glass in just a second. Matt Horner is going to join us for Model Making Money. We're then going to jump into Big League Peej, go over today's MLB slate. We'll also go off the glass and talk some WNBA with three games on the docket tonight and wrap things up with best bets. As always, we want to hear from you. Send us your questions, comments, your best bets throughout the show. Put them in the chat and we'll answer them all. And if you missed anything from the show, you can catch everything on the Send It In podcast that's available wherever you get your podcasts. All right, glass is in session. Gridiron Glass, Arizona State is our preview for today. We're just going to say 2023 was not Arizona State's year. A 3-10 season. They were injured, had a ton of injuries, were shorthanded throughout the season. That was actually last year, Arizona State's worst scoring season outside of the 2020 COVID year since 1966. That's absolutely terrible. They struggled with big plays, struggled running the ball. Offensive line was a mess, and that, you know, made it hard to get anything going. So that's going to turn around a little bit this season. Kenny Dillingham is in his second year as head coach for the Sun Devils. He's one of college football's top offensive minds, right? He had a bad season last year, but it's his first year as a head coach. He has a track record of success as a coordinator, stints at Memphis, Auburn, Florida State, Oregon. So he's able to bring a lot to this program. Give him a little time in year two, year three, year four, and this program is going to turn around. They have the pieces to create a solid offensive line, brought in Hawaii transfer Josh Atkins to fill one of the tackle spots. They also returned Ben Coleman at left guard. He missed all of last year with an Achilles injury. So two key pieces there. Cam Scataboo is a solid option at running back. He can do a little bit of everything. DeCarlos Brooks, he's another option in the backfield, 5 yards per carry last year. I think Dillingham just has to do a little bit better job of getting them the ball and prioritizing the run more than he did last year. But again, that's going to come with a better offensive line. It's also going to come with better quarterback play. They brought in redshirt freshman Sam Levitt from Michigan State, and Dillingham just named him the starter yesterday. So he'll be under center. A lot of bright stuff to expect from him. And then you have Jeff Sims, a Nebraska transfer, as a backup. He can run the ball, extremely athletic, so maybe they use him in different sets, similar to kind of how New Orleans did it with, blanking on his name, Taysom Hill. Thank you, producer Sean, in my ear. That was wonderful. Taysom Hill. So maybe Jeff Sims is used a little bit like that. The receiving core, you saw a lot of guys leaving the transfer portal, but they do have a solid group coming back that has the potential to be, I think, better than most people expect. Jordan Tyson is back after missing last season with a knee injury. Troy Omir, he's 6'4", 215. Just that size alone kind of reminds me of Johnny Wilson from Florida State. Maybe not quite as talented, but certainly has the size to be a big play threat guy. And if we consider how bad the passing game last year, anything really is going to be an upgrade. Passing game only connected on 60% or more of its passes three times throughout the season. Three. That's it. That's awful. The team was 1-6 when not throwing for more than 205 yards, which means seven games where they didn't get over 205 yards. Also not good. Outscored in the fourth quarter, 112-57. Things were just a mess all around. The defense was destroyed each week. That's going to take a step forward. It gave up 55 points to Utah, 49 to Oregon, 59 to Arizona. Terrible, terrible numbers. But they do have some new transfers that are going to help out in the secondary. Loaded up with transfers in the portal on the defensive front. So that's expected to be a little bit better as well. I think their win total this year, Arizona State's win total this year is set at 4.5. I think they can get over this. In fact, I think that they could also potentially even get to a bowl game. So it's heavily juiced to the under, minus 165, but I would take the over. You're getting a great price at plus 140. If you look at their schedule, Wyoming week one, that should be a win. Mississippi State, I could kind of go either way on that. And then Texas State, I think that could be a win as well. Their first big time test is going to be at Texas Tech, and that's their first time, their first matchup in the Big 12. So that's going to be a huge one. Key losses this year, or losses on this schedule that I believe will be inevitable. Utah in week 7. You have Oklahoma State in week 10. Kansas State in week 12. Potentially Arizona. But the rest of these games, I think, could be a toss-up if the pieces all work together like I think they're going to be working together at Arizona State this year. So I think that's certainly going over their 4.5 wins. I love that, especially getting the plus 140. You do have to play the top five teams in the Big 12 preseason media poll with Utah, K-State, Oklahoma State, Kansas, and Arizona. But you miss out on Iowa State. You miss out on West Virginia, Baylor, Colorado. And I mean, I should note that although I do like the win total over 4.5, Arizona State was picked in the coaches in the media poll, rather preseason media poll, to finish last in the Big 12. I'm not sure that's going to happen though. I certainly wouldn't bet them to win the conference. I certainly wouldn't bet them to make the college football playoff, and I certainly wouldn't bet them to win the national championship. But over that 4.5 win total, I think is certainly doable. All right, let's move on to the NFL and talk a little Carolina Panthers. 2-15 last season. Not great. Talk about a team in Arizona State that wasn't good. Panthers were just as bad. They only scored 236 points all year long. The point differential was the worst in the NFL at minus 180. You can't really blame Bryce Young for everything. His supporting cast was subpar. The Panthers fired Frank Reich halfway through the season. Top to bottom, everything was kind of a mess. Front office was a mess. The Panthers' offense, also a mess. 4.1 yards per play on offense. That was the worst figure for any team in any season since 2008. They didn't hold a fourth quarter lead in a game the entire season. And you win two games, you kind of ask, like, well, how does that happen? Their two wins came on the last play of the game while trailing. Pass defense got absolutely no help. Their schedule of opposing quarterbacks was one of the hardest in the NFL, faced six most snaps against top 10 EPA quarterbacks. So that's only going to get easier this season. They have a top five easiest schedule. They have an opponent to get a few early wins, opponents that will allow them to get a few early wins outside of week 4 versus Cincinnati. They really don't face an opponent that's rated in the top half of the league. You start at the Saints. Sure, that's a divisional game. That's tough on the road, but Saints aren't anything, as we previewed yesterday, to be too worried about. The Chargers come to town in week 2. Justin Herbert status, we'd all love for him to be healthy this season, but what's he going to look like in week 2? You go on the road at the Raiders. Raiders aren't anything to be scared of. The Bengals, that's likely going to be a loss. And then at the Bears, as a Bears fan living in Chicago, I'd like to think that the Bears are going to be really good, but we still don't know because they do have a rookie quarterback and a lot of moving pieces there. Additions for the Panthers this offseason, made some significant upgrades that are going to help that win total, which is set at 5.5, that opened at 4.5, and Sharps jumped up that immediately, moving that up to 5.5. Those upgrades on some key areas of concern, traded for wide receiver Deontay Johnson. He's known for his ability to create some separation. They drafted Xavier Leggett. He's a big play target. Also brought back Adam Thielen, a veteran player. He's not necessarily going to be a game changer, but can be a steady presence week in and week out. And last season, the receiving core struggled with things all across the board, but one of those being lack of depth, their inability to generate yards after the catch. These new additions should be able to help kind of revitalize that unit. The offensive line was also a major weakness last year, which is why Bryce Young struggled so much, or one of the reasons, I should say. But they also saw improvements this offseason, signed veteran guards Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis. They're expected to be upgrades. And really, with the new guards, going to have to complement the team's tackles, with Taylor Morton being a reliable force at right tackle. So some good pieces on that offensive line. My biggest concern for the Panthers this year is on the defensive side of the ball, because they traded away edge rusher Brian Burns to the Giants and replaced him in free agency with Javian Clowney and DJ Wonnum. The defense, I think, has taken a step back. Virtually no pass rush outside of Clowney. And motivation has kind of always been a key issue. Difficult to envision him really trying his hard, giving 110% for a team like Carolina if they're only winning 2-3 games throughout the season. He's kind of a player that motivation, like I said, has been an issue. Another bright spot, however, is coaching. Dave Canales coming in his first season as a head coach in the NFL, but he's had stops along the way as coordinators, and he's been known for his resurrecting quarterbacks in Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield. So I think the Panthers are going to be better this year. I'm not willing to bet them to win the division at 15-1, but a few props that I do like. One, I like them to go over their win total of 5.5. Again, that number has moved up from the open at 4.5 earlier this offseason. I like Bryce Young to go over his passing yards, 3,200.5 yards. He'd have to average around 190 yards per game. That's not that hard, too much to ask, especially with some added weapons. He threw for nearly 2,900 with no supporting cast last year, also only played in 16 games. And this is assuming he gets over this number, that he stays healthy, because that's always a major, major factor. We're asking what, for like 300 more yards in his second season with a better coach, with more weapons. I think that's certainly doable, especially you look last year under Dave Canales, Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay threw for over 4,000 yards. So I think Bryce Young can get over 3,200 and a hook. I also like him to go over his passing touchdowns, 18.5. He threw 11 touchdowns last season. But again, you have improvements along that offensive line. You have an improved wide receiving core, and you have a better head coach that can cater things and kind of tailor the offense into the way that Bryce Young likes to play. So getting over 18.5 really should not be that difficult. So those are my two props that I like for Bryce Young. And again, I like the Panthers to go over 5.5 wins this season. All right, moving on to model making money. We're going to bring in Matt Horner. Remember, as we talk to Matt and as we go forward, send in your picks, send in your questions. If you have anything that you want Matt to answer, we will feed that to him. Matt, what is your BetQL five-star play for today?
Yeah, so I don't know what it is, but every time I seem to come on here and Dean Kremer is the pitcher for the Orioles, we're fading him every single time, and we're going to do it again today. Five-star play taking the Mets here on the money line against the Orioles. It just does not like Dean at all. It sees the Mets being a minus 181 favorite here instead of generally in the market, they're about minus 120. So, Kremer, I mean, he does stink. 5.10 expected ERA, 4.54 expected FIP. And we're just getting a lot of value. So five-star play, we're going to take the Mets on the money line against the Orioles.
Love it, Matt. That's one of my favorite plays for a little bit later in the show. So previewing that, we do have a question from B. Mills. Do you like the over in the Mets-Orioles game? Do you have any thoughts on the total in that one?
Yeah, honestly, I might play the under in this game because I think it's a sneaky type of contrarian play. You've seen the number coming lower, which is I'm going to talk about here another game I like the under on tonight. Quintana on the mound. The Orioles have kind of been scuffling at the plate for a little while here, especially yesterday. They didn't do well against Peterson, who is another regression candidate, just like Quintana is tonight. The Orioles just not doing well at the plate. The Mets, I like them as well. I'm with you here, but I think the under would be the play there, quite honestly.
All right. Love it, Matt. What is your best bet for today?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Brewers and the Cardinals under 8. We talked about this on the Daily Boost this morning. Basically, these are two offenses as well that have been slumping since the All-Star break. On one side, you have the Cardinals against a righty tonight in Frankie Montas. Montas is a trade deadline acquisition. He has a 4.86 ERA, 4.77 expected ERA, 4.56 expected FIP. So he's due for some positive regression. And the Cardinals, as I just said, they've gone from a 108 WRC plus against righties down to a 101. So they have been sliding at the plate. On the other side, Eric Fede, I can never pronounce his last name for some reason. He's due for some negative regression, 3.4 to ERA, 3.91 expected ERA, and a 4.11 expected FIP. But the Brewers have also been sliding recently at the plate. They started out hot. They had a 115 WRC plus against righties. That's moved down to 108 now. Plus weather in this game expected to be mid-70s temperatures, wind blowing in from left field at about 10 miles per hour. So put my weatherman cap on, perfect pitching conditions for an under in this game. Plus, both bullpens, both these teams had off yesterday, so the bullpens are going to be fully rested. Both are ranked top 10 in XFIP this year. Great bullpens. So overall, at 8, I like the under in the Brewers and the Cardinals game.
All right, Matt, we just talked about the Carolina Panthers continuing our NFL previews. How much better, if at all, do you think they're going to be this season? Is there any way they can compete for the division?
Yeah, I actually like the Panthers quite a bit this year. A lot of people, you know, they may not like them, but as you said, the sharp play was the over 4.5 wins. That got bet real quickly, and it's up to 5.5 now. That number is pretty iffy there at 5.5, but I wouldn't mind taking an over on that one. As you said, I pretty much agree with everything you said in that Panthers segment. They are just a much better team this year than they were last year. And I think one thing that people don't look at is how well the team did in a one-score game last year. The Panthers actually had 8 one-score games last year. They had a 2-6 record in a one-score game, which historically, those games are 50-50 no matter how bad or how good a team is. So they had some bad luck there, and I think they're going to have a little bit more luck this season in one-score games. The talent's there. Getting rid of Frank Reich was fantastic for them, and Chris Tabor. I think that's going to be a huge upgrade for coaching as well. The roster's better. So, yeah, I don't mind the Panthers here. This is a division as well that isn't set in stone. Like, nobody in this division is like, you know, it's not like the Chiefs or something like that where it's like, oh, wow, this team's definitely going to win it. It's kind of just, you know, anybody can really win this division. So Panthers at huge plus money. I don't mind that at all. Taking the over 5.5, don't mind that either.
All right, Matt, real quick, wrapping things up. After seeing Caleb Williams in the Bears' first two preseason games, you and I are both Bears fans. Can he lead Chicago to over their win total of 8.5?
I don't think so. I'm going to be taking the under. Yeah, I'm going to be taking the under here at 8.5 on the Bears. Look, they're still the third best team in this division. Detroit's a better team than them. I love Detroit in this division. I think they're going to have a great season. Green Bay is still better than them, I would say. Rookie quarterback Caleb Williams. Yeah, he's shown flashes. He's shown some really impressive ability, but he's also been kind of inconsistent at times as well. And I don't know, just a rookie quarterback here. You've got a defense that is great in the secondary, but they haven't addressed the pass rush still. The pass rush is still an issue for them, and there's just too much inconsistency here. And I don't know, 8.5 just seems like too large of a number for the Bears in this division. So I'm going to be taking the under at 8.5 on my Chicago Bears. Forever the optimist with the Bears, I am.
Yes, that is certainly you, Matt. I'm right there with you. I'm trying to temper my expectations a little and try not to get too excited, but I think you are probably on the right side at under the 8.5. Matt, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you hopping on. We'll talk to you again later this week.
Sure. Thanks, Kate.
For those of you who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5 star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and overs and unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, moving on to Big League Peach, starting things off with the Guardians and Yankees. Yankees -150 on the money line, Guardians +125. The total sitting at 8.5. Guardians come into this game after being swept by the Mets, while the Yankees are off 2 straight losses to the Tigers themselves. Matthew Boyd is on the bump for Cleveland. Luis Gil getting the start for New York. Gil's coming off a bad outing against the White Sox, which is a little bit concerning because it's, well, the White Sox. Gave up 7 hits and 4 earned runs in just 4 innings, but he's been great at home where he is tonight. 6-3 with a 2.90 ERA. He's going to have some run support from the Yankees bats behind him, especially considering New York is a team that hits more so for power than Cleveland does. Cleveland's been one of the worst offenses in the league over the last month. They're bottom 3 in OPS over that span. So I'm going to go with the under here at 8.5. Two solid starters. A pedestrian Guardians offense. I think we see the Yankees score, but overall, this is a lower scoring game in total. So I'll take the under 8.5. Orioles and Mets. Dean Kramer going for Baltimore. Jose Quintana for the Mets. You just heard Matt talk about how he likes the Orioles. I like that too. Quintana struggled 4.73 ERA since the All-Star break. The Orioles are one of the top teams in a lot of key hitting stats, WRC+, WOBA, especially against lefties. They rank high in slugging and ISO. So they've been concerning on the road, or more so on the road than at home. But with Dean Kramer on the mound for the O's, he's coming off a strong outing and has performed better on the road. Holding opponents, their batting average, just 193. So I like the Orioles tonight. You're getting them at even money as the underdog here. I will take Baltimore on the money line. Phillies and Braves. Braves +120, Phillies -140. A great pitching matchup with Zach Wheeler going for Philly and Ronaldo Lopez for the Braves. Wheeler has a 3.07 career ERA versus the Braves, and Philly's offense has been much better than Atlanta's as of late. They've scored 34 runs over their last 5 games, and that's compared to just 15 runs scored in the Braves' last 5 games. The Phillies have also been strong against right-handed pitchers, and Lopez has struggled in recent home starts. He's only allowed 6 runs, or has allowed 6 runs, rather, in his last 3, not to mention Atlanta's bullpen is also struggling. The Braves have a tougher time hitting right-handers, and Wheeler's been solid, allowing just 4 runs, last 3 starts. I'm going to take the Phillies on the money line. All right, Royals and Angels. Cole Reagan's going for the Royals at home. Tyler Anderson for the Angels. You have to lay -210 on the money line if you want just the Royals to win outright. I'm not willing to lay that price, but I am willing to take the Royals -1.5. Tyler Anderson, once again, going for the Angels. He's coming off a terrible outing against the Blue Jays. Gave up 7 earned in 5 2/3 innings. His ERA has ballooned all the way up to almost 6 in the month of August. I don't expect him to have a great outing tonight, but even if he does, I think the Royals can cover the run line here. Reagans and Anderson, they faced each other earlier this year. Reagans was terrible, and I doubt he allows a similar poor start again against this Angels offense. Royals offense, on the other hand, been one of the best scoring teams in the league at home. 5.27 runs per game. That's pretty good. They also have a 7.76 OPS at Kauffman Stadium. So laying the 1.5 on the run line, never, you know, I'd prefer to take someone on the money line, but at -210, not willing to lay that price. So I will take the run line, Royals on the run line. Twins and Padres. This one, I don't have a particular, like a super strong take in this, but I do think you kind of lean towards the first five under. The Padres have been so good lately. Martin Perez going, he's been great. Only four earned runs in his last 17 and a third innings pitched. Similar, Bailey Ober, he's been phenomenal lately. Six earned runs in his last five starts. That's across 34 innings. So both of these pitchers, extremely solid. You're getting 4.5 in the first five. I think you take the under there. Time to go off the glass here. We've got three WNBA games on the slate tonight. Starting with the Sparks and the Sun. This is my favorite WNBA bet of the night. Sparks team total under 71.5. The Sun are back at home after a two-game road trip. They're coming off of a bad loss to the Dream. They gave up 82 points to the worst scoring offense in the league. That's Atlanta. And now they face the second worst scoring offense in the Sparks. So I think the Suns are going to be motivated to have a better defensive performance, not let that happen again. Connecticut's holding opponents to just 70.5 points per game at home, which is the best mark in the league. They have the third best defensive rating at home. This game, however, is being played not in Connecticut, but at TD Garden in Boston. Still is going to have that home feel for the Sun. Lot of Sun fans in the crowd. So I still am chalking this up as a home game and kind of playing it in that sense. The Sparks also, they rank in the bottom half of the league in field goal percentage, rebounding, second chance points, points are off turnovers. The list goes on and on and on. So I'm taking the Sparks team total under 71.5 tonight. Liberty and Wings. This is an interesting one. Within the last hour or so, Sabrina Ionescu has been listed as questionable with a neck injury. If she doesn't play, I might just stay away from this game altogether. If she does play, I'm willing to lay the 12.5, the 11.5. Right now it's 11 with Sabrina's being questionable. I think if she is ruled in, that line's going to go back up to 12 or so. So maybe grab this now at 11. Liberty are back home after two road games. They have the best net rating since the Olympic break. They just beat the Sparks by 35. The Aces by 12. Sabrina was awesome in both of those games. And New York leads the league in fast break points. The Wings are dead last in fast break points allowed. Dallas is also in the bottom of a lot of defensive categories. Points, opponents points in the paint, overall defensive rating. Dallas has just been an awful, awful defensive team all season long. So I'm going to fade that and take the Liberty. Minus 11 right now, you can grab them. But earlier today, I did take them at minus 12.5, thinking Sabrina was going to be playing in that full game. So however you can get this line as of now, I would take New York. All right, last game, Storm and Mystics. The Storm have struggled since the Olympic break, two straight losses. They now play their last road game against the Mystics before heading back home. I would be shocked if Seattle doesn't win this game. I'm not sure I want to lay the 6.5. With Seattle, earlier this line was 7.5, 7. I would have grabbed the Mystics then, but I lost out on that number. I just think we do get a strong showing from the Storm tonight. I think they win this game, but again, I'm not sure I want to lay 6.5, so I would consider backing the Mystics with the points, but this one is just going to be a stay away for me. All right, let's go to PJ's plays. As a reminder, if you have any plays, any questions, any comments that you want us to get to as we wrap up the show here in the next couple of minutes, send those in and we will get those answered. All right, going streaking. We have a one streak. Well, this week we only have one game, but we hit that yesterday. Vlad Guerrero, we had him to get a hit yesterday, and he got a home run. So great start to the week there. We're going to go back to another hitter that's been red hot, and that's Bobby Witt Jr. If you lay the juice to bet this, it's probably not great, but we're just trying to get our streak going. So Bobby Witt Jr. to get a hit. He has a hit in each of his last eight games. I think he continues to be really, really good at the plate. So I am going Bobby Witt Jr. to have a hit tonight. My favorite prop tonight, Brianna Stewart, over 21.5 points. I just mentioned that Sabrina Ionescu might not be playing tonight. She's listed as questionable. If that's the case, Stewie's going to have to step up even more than she already does. She had four straight 30-point games leading into the All-Star break. She's had gotten over this number in one of her two games since the All-Star break, finished with 18 in the other. And Dallas mentioned that they are bottom in the league in opponents' points in the paint. That's where Stewie's going to get a lot tonight. tonight. So I like Breanna Stewart over 21.5 points. My dog of the day, I'm going back to that Orioles money line. It's only even money, but they're still an underdog, so it still counts. Baltimore has a good chance to hit really well against Jose Quintana, who is on the mound. He's struggled a lot since the All-Star break, 4.73 ERA. And the Orioles, one of the top teams in WRC+, WOBA, against lefties. They rank high in slugging. So I think the Orioles are going to find plenty of success today. I like them as my dog of the day. Sean, let's bring you in here. What is your best bet for today?
Yeah, Kate, I'm going to stay in that exact same game. I'm going to go Gunnar Henderson over 1.5 total bases. It's at plus money. Gunnar's starting to heat up a little bit. He's hitting a lot more home runs. Yesterday, he went 0-4. Gunnar's too good to go not have a hit again, so I think he's going to go to go over this today. He's going up against Jose Quintana, who actually is worse against lefties than he is righties, and Gunnar Henderson is a lefty, but going up against another lefty, his splits aren't as bad. So I think, as you said earlier, they mash lefties, the Orioles do, and I think he's going to go for this.
Yeah, when Gunnar Henderson doesn't have a hit in one game, certainly look to bet him the next, because you're right, he's too good to go over in back-to-back games. My best bet for today, I'm going to go back to that Sparks game and take the Sparks team total under 71.5. They're facing off against the Sun, who are one of the best defensive teams in the league, and they're coming off a really poor defensive performance. Connecticut just lost to the Dream. Gave up 82 points to the worst scoring offense in the league. The Sparks scoring offense is not much better. Second worst scoring offense in the league. And I think that the Sun are going to be motivated to not make the same mistake twice that they did and kind of have a lackluster effort tonight against the Sparks. So with this game being played at TD Garden, not on the Sun's home floor, I think that also kind of just bolsters the energy a little bit and brings some more energy to Connecticut, to the Sun on their defensive performance. So Sparks team total under 71.5 is my best bet. That's going to do it for us here today on Send It In. Thank you all for joining us. I will be back tomorrow and the rest of the week as PJ is out. We'll continue on all of our college football previews and NFL previews as the week goes on. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.